Hi, everyone. Welcome to Betch Slapped. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
Later, we'll be joined by a very special guest, Jacqueline Johnson. She's the CEO and founder of Create and Cultivate.
And the author of Work Party, which I think came out this week or is coming out.
I think so, yeah.
This week, today, maybe?
Sammy doesn't actually know, but you guys should check it out.
It's very soon.
But first we have to talk with the VMAs. So, Sammy, what were your general thoughts, feelings, concerns, questions, comments?
Okay. So, just one thing. Before we get into the VMAs, I just want to ask you a question. Have you noticed all of the people who have been posting about Mercury being out of retrograde and they're like fully serious about it? Like, they actually are like, wait, my life is different. I expect to now understand things because Correct. Mercury's out of retrograde and everything yeah. will be. What are your thoughts on this?
I find it very confusing. I mean, I saw it on, I really like Emma Roberts, and obviously we have a project with her, but she posted that she got mercury poisoning, right? And then she wrote like, she put a post up of her having sushi. Caption was, I got mercury poisoning, so goodbye sushi. I got it on the last day of Mercury being retrograde. I can't wait for the new Pisces moon.
I saw that too, actually.
And I was like, what?
I was like, wait, you really think this is like going to be different?
I'm confused.
Is that like, okay, I've never felt that way about anything.
I don't even know when people's like birthdays are according to their horoscopes.
That I can like somewhat put together based on the few people I know whose birthdays and zodiac signs I know. So I have a general idea.
Okay, let me quiz you.
Yeah.
June 1.
June 1 is Taurus.
Oh, I don't know.
Or that's Gemini.
That's my dad. I don't know.
Gemini, I think.
May 14th.
That's Taurus.
That's my brother.
Okay.
March 14th.
Yours. It's Pisces.
Yeah, you know. I'm a water sign.
Yeah.
February 24th.
Aquarius?
No, Pisces.
Oh, sorry. Right, you might be on the cusp.
She is. It's right. Alexa. What are you?
I'm Aries.
Aries.
April 10th.
Interesting. So, yeah, I have no fucking clue.
I have, like, general ideas of generally when things are, but, like, I don't know anything about Mercury retrograde, and I certainly don't believe that my life is affected by it.
Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I think it's in my head.
Right. I mean, I'm definitely psychic, as you know.
Same, me too.
Right. We are psychic.
We're both psychic. It's our
right.
Pisces.
What are you saying right now in your head? What am I saying?
What am I thinking? We can't communicate like that over a podcast.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you later. I'm glad that you said that because the thing I'm thinking can't be said on this podcast.
Great.
I know what you're thinking and definitely can't be said.
What am I thinking?
I can't say it. I'll tell you later.
Oh my God, she thinks I'm filthy.
No, it's not like, it doesn't have to be like it's dirty. It's just like not supposed to be said here. It's like,
okay.
Am I going to talk shit about everyone we know on this podcast? Because no. I know you're thinking it.
Right. Well, okay. I know you're not for the sake of talking shit, but mostly like exploring the why behind. Why are people so obsessed with, I mean, here's the thing. I believe in aliens, quote unquote, that we're not the only ones on this earth, correct? Or not the earth, but like this universe. The fact that there's a multiverse is literally mind boggling to me. I can't even get that far in my thought process. But like, and I believe that there's more, like there is energy that comes from the solar system, and like planets aligning changes things, changes energies. However, I don't think that it like is directly correlated to someone getting mercury poisoning.
Right. As you know, I'm an energy.
Or your computer's breaking.
Right. I'm an energy healer. You're a crystal healer. I believe in energies. I just don't think that. Right. I do believe there is meaning to it. I just don't think that it caused your computer to break. I think maybe there's a certain energy in the air that, you know, you have to like learn a certain thing
or something has to come to light. I don't know.
Well, as an energy healer myself.
That said, you guys should follow our Insta story that we post about horoscopes and read our horoscopes because they're very funny.
Right.
On Betches.com. But let's talk about the VMAs.
Okay, great. Glad I got that out of the way.
I'm so glad you got that out of your system.
It's just been bothering me and I was like, where can I express this?
Here.
Other than our text message conversation. But like, what am I going to randomly, you know?
Anyway.
Okay. So VMAs. I saw J-Lo's performance. I saw Ariana Grande's performance.
J-Lo is my favorite couple right now.
J-Lo is J-Lo.
Is J-Lo and A-Rod.
Yeah.
I love them. They give me the chills. They're like the parents, the celebrity parents
who still got it
that I want to be like, or I want. They make so much sense. Her speech where she says like he's her mirror and like that they lift each other up and like are both very ambitious and like also have 3-letter nicknames. She didn't say that, but
his is 4 letters.
Excuse me, I can't count. Yeah. But
they do have
they're
nicknames
both like, you know.
I agree, you know, they're
Latin superpowers.
Yeah, I agree. They're really amazing.
And she, like, he's dated so many celebrities. Like,
he's so hot.
Didn't he date Madonna?
I think so.
He dated Cameron Diaz. And the fact that he landed on J-Lo in this place of her life, I think it was all about timing. And I just think they're so perfect. I really hope they don't break up. But then again, everyone breaks up, so.
She's also so hot. Like, it's unbelievable.
She is insane.
She performs like Ariana Grande.
She does. Even crazier. Even crazier. She's so fit. She's so... She does... Okay. J-Lo is like literally... Like when I say superpower, I truly mean it. When we say alien, I mean alien. She... Okay. She's... She had a show, The Shades of Blue. I don't think she's on it anymore. I was on her Insta story. I follow her. She's amazing. She has World of Dance. She judges. She has a Vegas show.
None of this is sponsored.
That she literally fucking performs. It's not like she has a show and it's licensed her name. She does this sing a song and dance like for an audience.
Right. Isn't it pretty crazy? As I was watching the VMAs, I was like, so much must go into this. How much do you think they practice? Like,
I almost don't think that much because I feel like she uses her performances in different places. But then, okay, I'm not even done. She sings. She has songs, top 40 songs, another one. She keeps going.
She's like a quadruple threat.
And she doesn't want to stop. I just think she's fabulous. I know somebody who knows her and they said that she, despite like all this amazingness, she's very nice.
She's still Jenny from the block.
However, she's very like business first, like very serious, like let's get to it kind of person, which is amazing. I can see that.
I feel like she's almost like, she is on par with Beyonce, but people don't see that, I think, because Beyonce's Beyonce. But I actually think J-Lo is just as good, even better.
I don't know. I can't say, but I think that she's so incredible. And it's very powerful to me that, like, when we're talking about the most powerful women in like, entertainment are J-Lo and Beyonce, and they're both... Like one is
women of color.
Minorities.
Yeah.
And women. And like, it's just, it's really, it gives me, you know, the chills.
Yeah. She looked incredible. Let's also talk about Ariana Grande. I know we want to talk about this. Ariana Grande is a real person. She's made the full transformation from caterpillar Disney star to butterfly engaged to be Davidson girl.
I will talk about this forever, but God is a woman.
Yeah, so
it's the
good.
Best fucking song. It gives me Dutch chills. Another one that gives me Dutch chills. But I watched that video, and like all of those colors are beautiful, like that I love. And but also the lyrics are really
lovely,
and like feels so good. Like as a woman to listen to it.
Yeah, like God is a woman, so am I.
Yeah, well, it's just. She like gives proof and like it's like
she gives proof in her
songs. In her songs and how she like the imagery in the video of how she it's like kind of sexual, which I kind of like. And then she like has obviously the director, the creator of the video did this, but there's like references to all these other videos. It's very genius and I love it. And she's dark. I like that she's dark and like, she's not.
Like not she's, dark skins, like dark.
No, I don't mean
personality.
Dark personality, like she's dark. I think that she has trouble because she's a young girl who's like very, very famous. And I think that she's going to, I hope she like, she had that awful fucking thing at her concert at Manchester.
Well, I told you I was on vacation. I listened to No Tears Left to Cry probably like, it's an embarrassing amount of times. Like, I don't know if Spotify tracks the number of times you listen to a song, but it's got to be in the hundreds.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stop listening to it. I'm just like, I can't not start it over again. I'm on repeat, for real.
I don't care about her relationship with Pete Davidson. I don't care. Good for them. Fall in love. As long as he's supportive, which he seems to be very supportive of her and, like, worships the ground she walks on, which I obviously love. She deserves that, Ari. I mean, I just
saw everything. This photo of them together. He looks like Jimmy Neutron and she looks like the hottest person alive.
Yeah. The only thing, okay, the other thing that I watched, her carpool's karaoke carpool, which I played for you.
Yes.
Her voice. She's not just like a fucking pop star who can bop around. She's literally so talented. Her right. voice, her range, the way, do you ever watch?
Voice of an angel.
Do you ever watch her and like how her mouth doesn't move when she makes the noises?
Because it's coming from the diaphragm. Because it's coming from inside the diaphragm.
That was my best Ariana impression.
Well, it was very good.
Is that more like Ariel the Mermaid?
Well, Carly Kloss posted an Instagram with her and Ariana Grande, and the caption was "Voice of an Angel." And I was like, "Fuck yeah, Carly! Like!" I like pounded the like button so hard.
She really truly has a voice of an angel, and I think everything.
She's so cute,
And she really understands how to use her Instagram account. I think like her Insta story, the way she promotes Sweetener, like every single day, posts fans. She really has like such a loyal following, and everyone just loves her. And
I think people have been really into her lately. And I'm not the only person. We're not the only people. Yesterday, I told you I wanted us to talk about this, but I listened to Comments by Celebs podcast from yesterday, which you guys should also all listen to. Look in the iTunes store. It's the Comments by Celebs podcast. They had this same conversation that I was planning on having with you.
That's amazing.
About how she is just like, she's coming to her own. She's a real person.
She's 25 now. So like,
that's about the age where you become real.
When women, I feel like
I'm a real girl.
Yeah, I'm a real girl.
Right. You're no longer like a little like a annoying thought.
I feel like I mean, obviously it depends on where you are in life and what your like status, economically, but her just mumbles. But I feel like you have like your first realization of becoming self-aware of independence. Like,
right. Well, your brain is literally fully developed at that point. Yeah. Before that it wasn't. So like your judgment is actually literally impaired by its own immaturity.
Yeah.
So any decisions made before 25, you can really just pretend like you didn't.
Discard.
Return. Oh, that was my child brain. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck that. Okay. Since we are going into an interview, I just want to do one quick game.
Okay.
So would you rather? Would you rather have J-Lo's face and body at age 40, but you're pretty unattractive for your entire life up until then?
Up until 40.
Up until 40 when you get a magical transformation and you're J-Lo.
Yeah, okay.
Like, all in all.
Am I as rich as J-Lo?
Money is no part of this. Or have Ariana Grande's face and body at age 20, but you go seriously downhill after age 30?
J-Lo.
Me too.
Absolutely
J-Lo. Because then you end up at the end of your life with a good personality and looking hot.
Exactly. And you can look back. Like, I mean, I don't look like J-Lo now, but I don't.
You might. I'm age 40.
Yeah. But like, I wasn't an attractive
kid.
Keep
doing the plant paradox.
Thank you.
Oh. You guys should listen to Diet Starts Tomorrow. It's our other podcast that we
Sammy and I clan around on. We have really legit guests and you guys should listen. No, what was I saying? I mean, I really wasn't an attractive kid, like at
Neither.
All. You know, I had Jordani used to make fun of me for having man bun glasses, you know, paint on my overalls.
Well, that's not like unattractive. It's just like you didn't know how to style yourself.
Yeah.
I also was like not that cute. Although I was looking at my bat mitzvah pictures recently and I was like, was I cute then? And I thought I was ugly.
That's the other thing. Looking back at photos where you knew that you didn't like how you looked, but looking back and you're like, I was an attractive, adorable child.
Right. Well, again, more of these struggles on Diet Starts Tomorrow.
But to answer your question, now I look back and I appreciate the developed person I became.
Right.
Like I have a sense of humor due to the fact that I had to compensate for my lack of hotness.
Right.
So I think that I would choose the other one.
I actually think about this a lot. This is something I think about at least once a week, which is that like if you are too attractive at any point in your life,
yeah,
we all think, oh, I want to be beautiful, I want to face tune myself to be the most glamorous version of, you know, that I could possibly mm-hmm. you know, achieve without getting a face transplant. But I actually think that it actually benefits you as a human being to be less attractive.
Yeah.
I know we assume like, oh, everyone loves attractive people, but I kind of feel like it hinders you in a lot of ways.
I think it gives you access.
And with
but
that,
it doesn't,
the plastic surgeon.
No. I think it gives you access, but it doesn't
give you character.
Doesn't. Yeah. But then again, there are a lot of really attractive people who have character and whatever.
Like, right, but did they start?
Or I'm not talking about like supermodels here.
I'm talking as a regular human.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's best to be sort of just like medium.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, the plastic surgeon.
High five, medium.
Mediums. Who else wants to be a medium? Email us at slapped@betches.com if you'd like to get on the medium train.
Okay, on that note, we just want to let everybody know, since we're going to be talking about career with Jacqueline, our new book is now available for pre-order. It's called When's Happy Hour? Work Hard So You Can Hardly Work. It's a very funny career book, if we do say so ourselves. Really light read, but super like inspirational, hopefully. And you can get it wherever you can buy books. It comes out in October, but pre-order it, please. Yeah,
it really helps us if you guys pre-order. It helps us with sales. It gets us higher in the Amazon results. It really means a lot to us if you pre-order. So if you're going to buy it anyway, just like buy it now. Your money will probably be worth less in October due to inflation anyway.
And it's going to be so fun when you like you forgot that you bought it and all of a sudden there's a free package. It's like fucking Christmas.
Should we give them a little taste of like an example of something that's in the book? Like, what's your favorite section in the book?
My favorite section is when I yell at everyone to give context when they send a fucking calendar invite. Basically, our instructions on how to do daily tasks that you didn't know that there's a way to do it, like email etiquette, calendar invite etiquette, give context, and things like that.
Right. Give an address. Give a phone number.
That's mine. Or like, the way to make your boss's life easier is to anticipate what your boss will ask you.
Get them coffee. Get them cupcakes.
Well, not even that. Just like let's use this calendar invite example. Let's say you invite them to a touch base. Like, let's say the touch base, marketing touch base. You invite them to a marketing touch base. And then the boss is like, what are you fucking talking? Now I have to go and email and be like, what are we touching base on? You know, right. Instead, in the notes section, right? This has been going on. I'd like to update you on it. Great. Who else is in this meeting? Make sure I know. Make sure this person knows. You know, send me maybe an agenda.
Oh, an agenda. We love a fucking agenda.
Love it.
If you send an agenda, you will be hired here. Yes. Like maybe.
Like maybe. We'll see how everybody else.
My favorite part of the book is the chapter. And I'm saying this specifically because we got a DM, I think, to Diet Starts Tomorrow, the Instagram account that you should all follow, asking about how we started this business. Someone being like, I want to change careers. And we actually have an entire chapter in the book devoted to talking about how we started this business. We tell all the, you know, we really go under the rug and let you see the messy parts from early on when we weren't really business people, and the transformation that we made to become the successful female entrepreneurs we are today, and give you advice for how you could potentially do the same if it's right for you. We also have like checklists, like, should I start a business?
Yes. No. So basically the title is Work Hard. No, the title is When's Happy Hour? Work Hard So You Can Hardly Work. Just Google it. It should come up. Look it up on Amazon.
If you go to betches.co/WHH.
Yes, correct. Sammy's correct.
That will get it to you. And you know, something else that we talk about is our expertise in remembering all the names of the aspects of our brand, like which podcast we're on at the moment. And
so check that out. And on that note, let's welcome Jacqueline.
Hello, welcome to this special interview portion of Betch Slaps. We are here today with a very big guest and a very big announcement to make. So first, our guest is Jacqueline Johnson, creator of Create It and Cultivate, or founder of Create and Cultivate, and writer of Work Party, which is a book that is coming out in August. Yes. You guys should all check it out. And speaking of books, we wanted to announce that pre-orders are now open for our book, When's Happy Hour? How to Work Hard So You Can Hardly Work. So if you are in the market for career advice.
Work parties, yeah.
So if you're in the market for career advice, which we know a lot of you are, since you guys write in with a lot of questions about work and careers, this is a great place that you can, you know, get some advice. Two amazing books. So Jacqueline.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Nothing, you know.
You don't work out of New York, right? You're in LA.
I work out of everywhere. Any corner of an airport lobby, anywhere that there's an outlet, yeah. I'm typically like connected to the internet. I'm in a nook somewhere, but yeah. No, we're based in Los Angeles.
Right. So how are you? Like, are you on a tour up for your book? Or are you
not yet? Okay. I'm basically just we're here doing an event called the Beauty Summit, which is really fun. It's basically like a pop up create and cultivate event. But I love coming to New York. I try to come at least once a month. But we'll be doing a whole work party tour in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting.
Bringing the work party on the road.
Create and Cultivate is amazing. So we were very, very honored to speak on a panel 2 years ago.
I know. And you guys just skyrocketed up. Like just weird. Boom, boom, boom.
We were in Dallas and Jordana and I spoke at a panel. We made friends there. I'm still friends with Sophie from Beyond the Mag just because we spoke on that panel together.
Amazing.
And she worked on something with us last year. So
that's
so
what
funny.
It's all about.
Funny story, Jordana and I, so we are not used to having people get hotels for us then, really. So we get to the hotel and they're like, oh, king size bed. And we're like, no, we're not sleeping together in one bed. We need doubles. So we get to the room and we're
likes to cuddle.
Yeah, I do like to cuddle, but in this instant we'd have the opportunity to get a double bed.
It, yeah.
So we get there and there's only there's such a beautiful package, but it's all labeled Jordana's name. And I'm like, this is so upsetting. Later, we find out, because you guys emailed us and you're like, oh, you guys didn't get Aileen's package. I'm like, where was it? She's like, in her room. You guys deferred it and decided to sleep together. I'm like, they must think we're a couple.
Amazing. You're like, what?
I was like, Jacqueline definitely thinks we're dating, which is fine. But that's definitely what's happening.
I remember Janae from our team being like, they opted out of the room. And I was like, look, don't ask questions. We're inclusive. It was so funny.
And we were like, oh, what? And then another time when we did, we did go somewhere else for a different thing. We had separate rooms and we're like, I miss you. It's not the same. Yeah. We just called each other on the hotel phones. Yeah. But anyway, it was great to speak. Create and Cultivate was beautiful.
Thank
and we
you.
Met so many people there. And you're doing incredible. You had Kim Kardashian.
Look,
insane.
I'm retiring.
Yeah.
We had Kim Kardashian. Yeah. It's I can't. She's the tiniest person I've ever met. I'm 5'2", and she was, I just like picked
she was,
her up. And
right.
Oh my gosh.
She looked little.
Yeah, she's amazing though. Like what an angel. Like right. Just so awesome.
Well, you can see exactly how small she is on her new perfume bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see all the details. Forget what Kim looks like naked.
Who are you going to go from, who's your next keynote
person? Stressful because after LA, we're what are we do?
Yeah.
Where do we go from here? So we're excited. We're announcing a new city on Monday, and hopefully we have some really exciting announcements coming around that. So
we'll stay tuned.
Definitely hard to top for sure. Yeah. I mean, luckily we're in no shortage of amazing, awesome, powerful women. So
yeah,
it's
that's
so
amazing.
Fun to see who's going to be next.
And there will be more after they go to Create and Cultivate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And bigger.
Yeah.
It's so awesome too because it's I look back at some of our early panels. Even Chicago, and we had people like Tyler Haney and Hannah Bronfman and, Jen from Away, and they were just starting their companies, and now it's literally it's amazing to watch.
Yeah, so we just finished reading your book this weekend. It was amazing. Yay. Congrats. Yeah. Congrats on finishing it. We know.
It's so hard.
I did finish it, which is really exciting.
One of the parts I loved about it was that at the end of the book, you had all these descriptions of female entrepreneurs and their journeys. And we found it, really interesting and inspiring.
Yay.
Just to see this time that we're, all coming up in business, I guess. And, it feels really great to be part of this whole female movement without sounding cheesy about it.
I love it. I love it. It's so true. I mean, the whole idea behind Work Party is, you can create and cultivate the career of your dreams. I mean, looking at you guys, did you ever think in a million years you'd be running this company and having podcasts and books?
Zero.
You did it. And I think that's what's so empowering is with Create and Cultivate, I get to go all across the country, meet thousands of women who have these ideas, who are you guys 5 years ago or whatever it is. And it's so empowering to see them come and say, I can do that. I can create this, career of my dreams. And that's why I was so excited to interview people like Jihan, who's an artist and created this whole balloon installation trend. And now is doing all
these things.
That's
so cool, by the way.
Again,
so cool.
I followed a lot of people based on
based on that. Yay! Like, I found her and Jen Gotch, whose stories are very, very honest and interesting. And I'm like, oh my God, you are the only person from doing this.
The girls in our office tune in like it's Netflix. Like, it's they're so great. Like, did you see Tuesday's stories from Jen Gotch? I'm like, what? No, you guys are crazy. And they like compare notes and the whole thing.
I also like how you included really relevant people to like our culture and like the people that we follow and like new people to discover. So like, I followed her too. Yeah. That's so funny.
So interesting.
It was so interesting.
Because you said she puts up really honest Instagram. Oh, and I was like, oh, what?
And you're like, and follow.
The thing that I thought it was interesting was her like insecurity of like, will my investors pull out because they think I'm unstable? And that's literally the thought I had. But is that was the thought right before that sentence that I had. Like, was she afraid of that when she posted on Insta story?
Yeah.
But I guess not. It made her even bigger. Yeah. So
I mean, a lot of successful people have a little bit of crazy. So it's just now it's more. There's more places you can share that.
Totally. I mean, it's definitely like, I feel like, you know, 10 years ago, like, I think I even talked about this a little bit in the book, is like the CEO, like you pictured as like perfect, polished, like together, like power suit walking into the room. And now it's like us, you know?
Yeah. So, it's like some girls.
It's just like, you know, we're here. Like, I'm like, look, like I'm in the office sometimes and like people legit are like, are you the intern? Or I'm like, no.
Yes. But I feel the same way.
This place.
Like, who's that little girl?
In sweatpants.
Like, it's me. I'm the CEO.
Yeah. But it is. It's exciting. And I think it's new. And I think a lot of women are looking to figure out how they get here and how do they own that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Something I really liked about your book was how honest you were about the struggle you had with breaking up with your business partner and kind of rebuilding trust in people and dealing with the struggles, and how you were really honest about how shitty it feels, because I think that that's not what people hear enough. They hear this like, oh, I worked hard, but it's all very like vague and a lot of lip service.
Yeah.
So could you just, I guess, speak to that a little bit more?
Totally. Like, and I, you know, I think it's interesting. So that happened, I'm 33 now, and that happened when I was about like 23, 24. So it's interesting because at the time I was of that nature to be like, let's sweep this under the rug. Like, nothing to see here. Like, I'm totally fine. I've got this all buttoned up. But like, as I say in the book, I was like hysterically crying in the bathroom and then like wiping my face and like going in and being like, guys, we've got this, you know? So I think after I started telling a few people about it and people were like, oh my God, same. Or that happened to my friend or this happens. All of a sudden I was like, this isn't uncommon and no one's talking about it in a way that's like real and relevant. So I really felt compelled to tell my story. And honestly, it didn't happen for a long time. Like, I didn't feel comfortable with it until probably 3 years after the fact, where I was finally like, okay, I'm okay now. And like,
even 3 years is like a short amount of time to like get over something like so traumatizing, especially at a young age, like 23, we're like,
You have no idea. That's what was so like hard about it, was it was like, I genuinely did not know what to do. I was like Googling how to break up with a business partner and I was like, how? And it's one of those things. And I think it's something that, again, like no matter how big or small your business is, it's traumatizing. It's a marriage and it's really, really difficult to like move on from that. And especially when you have employees in the mix and you have to like get them to get back on board with the vision of the company and all of that stuff. So I thought it was really important to talk about like how hard it was and how long it took to kind of come back from that.
Who did you, if anyone, turn to for advice, or who do you turn to for advice now?
I go to a lot of different people. I mean, at that time, it was someone called my mom. She's awesome. No, I was definitely like, mom. She's the best. And like, you know, you need those people who are like, you know, she said, look, you need to get a lawyer. Like, you need to treat this. Cause in my head, I was like, I'm just gonna walk away and like not do anything about this. Cause it was almost too hard to think about. But then I did it the way that you're supposed to do it. Like, I did it the buttoned up sort of, you know, corporate way, where I like really handled it and I really got everything in order. And it took that like punch in the stomach essentially to like do that. But now, you know, I mean, I'm lucky. I have really great partners in Create and Cultivate that I can like go to, that have started successful businesses, that have sold successful businesses, that I can kind of lean on and be like, what do you think? What do you think? But I think the reality is no one is an expert. Like, even the most successful people, and we get to meet a lot of them, are like figuring it out. So, you know, which is also kind of, there's a little bit of solace in that, because you don't feel so alone. You know, because it's funny, because people are like, you're the expert to me. And I'm like, no, they're the expert. And they're like, no, we don't know who the expert is. So everyone's there's just no kind expert. Of figuring out. There's no formula, you know, to success. I think it's really just doing your best and figuring it out.
Definitely. Should we do Dear Betch?
Yes. Let's do a Dear Betch.
Okay. Should I read it since I have it open, or do you have it open?
Okay. You can go.
Okay.
Dear Betches, I just have a lot of feelings.
Dear Betches, I love everything Betches, especially the podcast. I'm patiently waiting for my boyfriend to propose so I can wear all Shop Betches merch for my bachelorette. Thank you for that. Plug. That was convenient. We have a new bachelorette collection.
Coming out, Shop Betches.
Yeah. This is a work-related question, so I'll get to it. Hopefully with the right amount of detail and length. Thank you. I've been at my job for what we make them. Give the right amount of detail. I've been at my job for 1 year, 4 months, and got promoted in October 2016. Technically, this was a lateral move, but it meant more responsibility and a small raise. The job was a new one for the company, so my boss and I didn't really know what to expect. After about 4 months in the position and hiring another team member with the same title as me, who I trained, I asked for a raise. This may seem ambitious, but my job requirements, stress level, and knowledge of our largest client grew much more than anticipated. When I brought this up with my boss, she said she was aware that I had taken on much more than originally planned. I was doing a great job, and then I should document the things that made me an awesome employee to bring up in my review in the spring. A few months later, I lightly brought it up again with my boss while asking when to expect my review. I was told it was coming and that she would advocate for a merit raise. Flash forward to now, and we received emails today saying reviews are finally going to happen. However, there will be no merit raises this year. My question is, how can I address this in my review with my boss and the VP? I've been waiting for nearly 6 months to get a small raise, and now it appears there's no chance I'm getting one. In my mind, I deserve much more than a merit increase anyway, since my knowledge is very important to the company and my workload has increased so much. I want to stay with the company because I love the people I enjoy, and I'm learning from the added responsibilities and the benefits, etc., are good. A few extra details. A company is paying me to take a night class in the fall. They're also sending me to a conference in DC. I'm in Vancouver. They always say how they want to create a career path for me, and the girl they hired likely makes more than me, even though my job is more stressful and more responsibility. XO, show me the money, betch.
Good question.
So what do you think?
I feel like it's hard because we're on sort of the side of the employer where you see that there's so many more considerations that go into salaries and raises and job, especially it sounds like it's a growing company than employees can necessarily see, which I'm sure you've experienced.
It's really interesting because I think, well, it's interesting that they're like blanket no raises. Like, that's an interesting thing. So I definitely ask questions about that. Like, you know, why is that happening? Is it because there has to be a reason behind that, whether they're willing to share it or not. But, you know, I think there's a thing, bonuses, like come up with a bonus structure and be like, look, if I'm meeting X, Y, and Z, like I really want to be able to get a bonus at the end of the year. Cause bonuses are much more tolerable for an employer. Cause it's like a one-off thing than being like, you're raising your entire salary for the rest of your life at this company. So I think like that's a really good way to approach it, is just to be like, look, like I was promised this raise. And again, like all of this in email, like, hi, I was like, we talked about this raise. We talked about the timeline. Now there's no more raises. And you told me it's because of X, Y, and Z. However, like, I'm bringing this much value to this role, and I'd love to see, like, a bonus, like, quarter over quarter for this. Or, I mean, profit sharing. I mean, I have no idea how big this, like, what this company is, but I'm just making stuff up. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I grow my vertical by X, if you're in a position where you bring in money to the company, like, you're in a really good position, because then you can quantify role, essentially.
And also you can like really just believe in yourself and ask them what's going on in the company. Yeah. Like, why is there no raises? Is the company going down? Are we having a bad quarter? Like, should I be worried because I'm thinking about myself, and should I be looking for another position? And then you even have more bargaining power if you come with a potentially a new offer. And I mean, maybe it's not a bad idea to go searching, because like you have all of these like stats of how you increased your value, or you increased the value of the company itself. Yeah. So like you can go somewhere else and show that.
Yeah. And it's great that they're paying for you to take a course, because now you have more skills that you can put in your little skills section.
Totally. Yeah. And exactly. Like, keep pushing on those things, because those are write-offs for them too. Just being like, hey, can you pay for my cell phone bill? Like, hey, can you like whatever? Like, there's little things you can do like that are write-offs for them that aren't going to cost them necessarily more money.
That's so smart.
You know? So I think there's bargaining power for sure. Though I will say, if like someone comes to me and they're like, I have another job offer, and they're using that as negotiation, I get like more annoyed. I'm just throwing that out there as a boss.
No, same. I would I would get totally annoyed, but from her perspective,
yeah, it's probably
like,
smart.
She probably, right. like, if there's something, if the company isn't having a good time with themselves and they don't have enough money to give anyone any raises, yeah. like, that's like a cut.
That's a weird thing.
It's a little bit of a situation.
Yeah. Or just see what the market rate is. Like, if you apply for jobs and you're like, oh, okay, cool, I'm definitely making more than what everyone's offering, or like, I'm definitely making way less for this position, then you can go in with that and be like, look, I've done my research and I'm not making what market rate is or whatever.
Yeah. True.
Okay. Just one more quick question because we are on a time crunch. I know that. What's the best way you've ever been asked for a raise?
The best way I've ever been asked for a raise is basically like when people come in. So we typically do it on reviews and things like that. But basically, you know, coming in armed with like, here are four things I did. Like one, here's a way I stepped up with the team and did something outside of my job scope. Like, so here's something I did that wasn't required of me. Like two, here's ways I brought in money. Like that's like the biggest one. And three, here's four things I want to do to like grow the company. Like coming in with like those exact pointers and then just being like, and asking for something super reasonable, like where you're not like, look, I want like a $30,000 raise. You're like, what? But just being like, I just want this little bump. It's going to make me really excited to be here and blah, 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 blah. Like those things, I'm like, you can't say no to those things like when people come in. But like, I feel like sometimes, especially this is more for like junior girls, they'll come in and on the 3 month, you know, 1 year raise or meeting and they'll just say, and I'd like a raise. And you're like,
right.
Why?
Like at the end of the meeting, as if that's just like just the, like it's like a little add on.
They
your
feel
cart.
Like they're supposed to ask because like that's the reason. But it's like it's not a guarantee. It's more like, what are you bringing to the table? Bring your enthusiasm in, and like then it's like, okay, yeah, like you're excited to be here. Like you're bringing this to the table.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, this has been really fun. Thank you so much, Jacqueline.
Thank you, guys.
Guys, you should check out her book, Work Party, which is coming out August 21st.
And
if you want to hear more, Jacqueline's also going to be on our brand new podcast, When's Happy Hour. She's going to delve into more of what happens in the book, what happened in that breakup, and all of that. So definitely check that out.
And notice, When's Happy Hour is both a podcast and a book now. I know we may not have made that clear.
It's both.
It's both. It can be everything. It's also the question you ask yourself at noon.
Yes.
So with that, thanks for listening, guys. Email us at slapped@betches.com with any questions for us or for Jacqueline, and we'll pass it along. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.